though we may speak with bravest fire, and have the gift to all inspire, and have not love, our words are vain, as sounding brass and hopeless gain. Though we may give all we possess, and striving so our love profess, but not be given by love within, the profit soon will turn strangely thin. Come, Spirit, come, our hearts control. Our spirits long to be made whole. Let inward love guide every deed. By this we worship and are freed. Well, wonderful words to the hymn that we just sung, and it speaks to the motive that we should be doing what we're doing with. The motive as to why we go out and serve, the motive as to why we speak to people, why we support people, why we share our material things with people. And friends, it has to be a motive of love. We should be giving the gift of love, the gift that God gave to you and to me, his gift in his only Son, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, and we need to be about giving that same gift, the gift of love to others. Love is an amazing thing, and love can change our thoughts, love can change our feelings, and love can even change our desires. Love, in fact, can change our actions of what we do and how we do it and why we do it. In fact, love is such a strange thing. The story is told of a young man who was sitting at the breakfast table one morning, and he said to his father, he said, "Dad, I'm going to go get married." His father responded, he said, "How do you know you're ready to get married? Are you in love?" "I sure am," replied the son. The father looked at the son and said, "Well, how do you know you're in love?" The son replied and said, "Last night, as I was kissing my girlfriend goodnight, her dog bit me, and I didn't feel a thing until I got home." You know, love can be that blissful. Love can be that hopeful. Love can be that pain-numbing. We all want to feel loved. We all want to experience that blissful feeling inside. We don't want to feel pain, and deep down inside you and me, we all yearn for the same thing, and that's love. The love of acceptance, the love of security. We yearn for that. We all want to feel that strong emotional reaction, which is felt in the form of acceptance from others, security with all of our flaws in our relationships and friendships that are a blessing, and yet we all struggle from time to time by not feeling loved and sometimes being around people who, in fact, are difficult to love. In fact, you and I, we can all feel like the man who is working a crossword puzzle, and he asked as he looked up from the table, "What is a four-letter word for a strong emotional reaction toward a difficult person?" Someone standing nearby said, "The answer is hate." A lady interrupted and said, "No, the answer is love." You see, everyone, you and me included, we're all working that same crossword puzzle of life. But the way we answer it is up to you and it's up to me. How we fill in those four letters, if it's hate, it's one thing. If it's love, it's another. And I want to share with you that Jesus has given you and I the crossword puzzle, and he has even given you and I the answer to that question. Our text this morning is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 13. We'll be reading verses 31 through 35. I want you to listen, to soak in the words of Jesus Christ, our Lord, beginning in verse 31. "When he had gone out, Jesus said, 'Now is the Son of Man glorified, and in him God is glorified. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, so I now say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.'" We're in the midst of a series, Life with One Another, and this morning's message is all about loving one another. We have to start with each other, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have to start with one another here. The result that Jesus gives, that why he wants us to love one another, is there at the end of the text. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. We don't have to say anything. We don't have to share anything. We don't have to do anything. If we love one another with such a deep, sacrificial, God-like love, then other people will recognize that and see there is something different. I have a cousin who was in the Navy. And in fact, friends, this is exactly how he came to Christ. He would be going home early on Sunday morning, and he would be passing a group of believers who he did not know were believers at the time. And they were joyful. They were connected. They were united. They were focused upon one another and the needs thereof. And my cousin shares this story, and he said one Sunday morning, as he was leaving a place that he shouldn't have been, he stopped these four or five individuals and said, "What do you have? Because I want some." And then he began to share the love of Christ, and yet he never even knew them before that day. He never knew them before that time. It was their love that attracted him to them. And so, friends, the answer to our lives, which oftentimes will feel like a crossword puzzle, like there's so much to do, how do we fit everything that God wants us to do into life? We start with love. We start with loving one another. We start here at home. We start with our church family. We start with our families. And we start with that four-letter word, love. The love that God poured into your heart and mine. We're told by the Holy Spirit, he has poured it into our hearts through the agent of the Holy Spirit, and we allow him to pour it out upon those individuals we come across. Jesus, in fact, doesn't say just to love. He commands it. He gives us this command. He says to love one another. It's a new command. This isn't an option. This isn't a question if we want to or if we feel like it. He says to love one another. And every single message throughout this series, it's all based on love. Next week, we're going to look at forgiving one another. And if you look and read throughout your New Testament, you will see verse upon verse upon verse that says, do something, love one another, forgive one another, serve one another, be hospitable to one another. And it goes on and on and on. You see, our interactions with one another are very important. They're essential to the watching world. I want us to be sure, as I've been hinting here, that we understand who you and I are to love. In this passage, the command Jesus issues is one for you and for me. He's speaking to all believers who seek to follow him, and it includes all those in the body of Christ, and we are to love one another. And friends, this love must cross denominational lines. This love must cross race and gender and social and geographical lines. This love must be sincere, it must be pure, and it must be true. Yet we all have a choice to love one another or not. We all have that choice to stretch ourselves out upon a limb and to become vulnerable and to begin to love one another. The other choice we have is true too, and that's the option to not to love one another. C.S. Lewis says it this way. He says, to love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping your heart intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. You must wrap your heart carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries and avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, your heart will change. Your heart won't be broken. It will become unbreakable. Your heart will become impenetrable. It will become irredeemable. And the only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers of love is hell. That's rough. That's harsh. But C.S. Lewis is correct. And that is what I'm about to suggest that will be costly to you and to me. And what I am about to challenge you and I to this morning may place you and me in situations where we have to sacrifice. What I'm about to share will most definitely, when we rise to the challenge, and I believe Trinity United Methodist Church will step up, we will rise to the challenge. It will position Trinity to have a voice in this community. It will position us to have a witness to the watching world. And all we have to do is begin with love. That's all we have to do. It sounds so simple, and yet it sounds so complex, because it will cost us those things that we like. It may cost us our time. It may cost us our money. It may cost us our possessions. It may cost us other things. But friends, failing to love and lacking to love, what's the cost in that? What's the real cost there? The cost of a person's soul. The cost of someone being freed from a struggle that they're struggling with. The cost of someone being lonely. You see, the costs are far higher if we fail to love than if we step up and we say we are going to intentionally love these people. We are going to intentionally love one another. We're going to put ourselves out there. We're going to get involved in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ. This morning's message is about love, and I realize that much has been written and spoken about love, yet I believe there's a message which all of us need to hear. And the message is this. It specifically deals with the reason we are to love one another. In verse 34, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you and I love one another, even as," Jesus said, "He has loved us, that we also should love one another." You see, this is Jesus' new commandment, and he commands you and me to love one another, not in any sort of way, but in the specific way that he has loved us. I want you and I want me to know the type of love Jesus has for you and me. The Garden of Gethsemane, there's two pictures of in the whole scripture that I could think of and ponder about that really contained the focus of love, and the Garden of Gethsemane is one of them. And that's right before Jesus laid down and gave his life for you and me. And Jesus gave it all. He paid the ultimate price. Jesus loved you and me as he stepped out of heaven and walked this earth. The Creator God loved you and me when he walked upon his created earth. The Creator God became like you and me. His creation, that, my friends, is love. The Creator God experiencing life as we experience it is love. This is, in fact, the picture of Jesus's love for you and for me. We read all throughout the Gospels of other pictures of Jesus's love. When he taught truth, when he cleansed a leper, when he fed the 5,000, when he lamented over Jerusalem, when he instituted communion. As I mentioned, the Garden of Gethsemane. When he stilled the storm, when he sent out the disciples, when he did other miracles, when he healed other people. When he ushered in the reinstatement of Peter and he forgave the sins, when he wept over Lazarus's death, when he washed the disciples' feet. I hope you're seeing a picture here of a Savior, of Christ our King, being intimately connected and interwoven into the lives of people, meeting them where their deepest need was at, meeting them in their worst time. And yet he showed them love. When Jesus met the rich man in Mark chapter 9, he was asking what he must do to be saved, and I challenge you to look this up. It says, "And Jesus looked upon him, and he loved him, and then he spoke." He looked upon people with love, with the compassion, the empathy, with the heart of feeling is, "I understand your pain." See, our world gives something else. Our world gives something far different. Our world condemns. Our world beats down. Our world heaps up burden upon burden upon burden. And Jesus is the one that says, "Come to me, I will give you rest." Friends, these pictures in the Gospels are for you and for me. They're pictures that show a love which is sacrificial, a love that gets into the situation and feels the pain of another person. I just sat at a meeting this past week, and the meeting went something like this, and we were discussing the needs of a ministry to help those in need. And I shared this. I said, "You know, if we're really going to get into the lives of people, we may not be able to help as many, but we can surely transform those people that we get into the lives and walk with them and then uplift them and allow them to have their life changed and transformed. For that's exactly what Jesus did for you and me. He didn't leave us in the same situation. He transformed us and he lifted us up and he gave us new life. These pictures of love from Jesus, they also show Jesus' emotions, such as weeping and lamenting and speaking truth in love. They show the anguish of what was required of him. We might be sitting here saying to ourselves, we can't do any miracles, we can't heal anyone. I want to challenge you and me this morning on this point. No, we might not have the gift of healing. We might not have the gift of multiplying the loaves and fishes, but what we do have is the opportunity to get into the world of those people who are hurting. We have that opportunity every day. Every day. It matters not where you're at. It matters not in what store or what, you know, business or restaurant you go to. I guarantee you, there's one common denominator all around the world, and that is people are hurting. Remember when Jesus, he's talking to followers of him, when he says to love one another, and so he's telling you and me to love each other. He's telling, rather than commanding you and me, to get into the life experiences of one another as he got into our lives. We are friends, we're being commanded to love one another in the same manner that Jesus has loved you and me. Love that is sacrificial, love that is compassionate, it's empathetic. It's looking out for the best interest of the other, a love that serves the other, a love that looks for nothing in return, a love that is pure and true, a love that reflects the pure love which has been poured into your heart and mind. Friends, this is Jesus' love. It's love in action. And St. Thomas Aquinas, he says it this way. He says, whoever loves much does much. Too often times our world is a results-driven world. Get it done, get the results, and do this and do that. And we forget the most important thing, and that's love. We focus upon the actions. We miss the love. As Thomas Aquinas states, when we love much, we will be doing much. And let's focus upon loving one another. You might be wondering, what about all those outside the church or those people who are not believers in Christ, and what about them? You may even be saying, are we not supposed to love them true? The answer is yes. We are called to love them. And the best way that we can start loving them is by loving one another. To be that witness to a watching world, to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Jesus said it this way. He says, this is our witness. He says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, you are my followers, if you have love for one another. Friends, when we have that same type of love Jesus has for you and for me, the result will always be that all people, they won't question. They won't ask the question. They will know that we are followers of Christ. The key to this result will always be if we have love for one another. I close this morning with the following account that D.L. Moody shared some years ago. He states this. He says, show me a church where there is love, and I will show you a church that is a power in the community. I'm going to read that again. If I have one desire for Trinity, it's to be the light in the village of Gibsonburg. It's to be the salt of the earth. And when I read these words of D.L. Moody, he says, show me a church where there is love, and he will show you a church that is a power in the community. See, I'm not interested in playing church. I'm not interested in just gathering week in, week out, and maintaining. I'm interested in being part of God's transformation and redemption of all people, all mankind, here in Gibsonburg. That's what I'm interested in. I don't want to play church. But D.L. Moody goes on, and he says, in Chicago a few years ago, a little boy attended a Sunday school I know of. When his parents moved to another part of the city, the little fellow still attended the same Sunday school. Although it meant a long, tiresome walk each way, a friend asked that young fellow why he went so far, and he told him that there were plenty of other churches just as good, nearer, and closer to his home. The young fellow responded, "They may be as good for others, but not for me." "Why not?" the young fellow was asked. "Because they love a fellow over there," he replied. Friends, D.L. Moody continues, and he says, "If only we could make the world believe that we love them, there would be fewer empty churches and a smaller proportion of our population who never darken a church door. May we let love replace duty in our church relations, and may the world who is watching be evangelized. May we all strive to love one another with the pure, the sacrificial love that Jesus has modeled for you and for me. May we all seek to walk with one another through life with the motive of loving one another as Jesus has loved us. May we all yearn to give the love of Christ that he has given to you and to me, to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And may we all expect a watching world to notice the love that we have for one another. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Jesus, for your command to love one another. We thank you for the example and the picture that you gave for us, Jesus, the challenge to get into the hearts, into the minds, and into the life of people. Father, may it start with us. May you give us your heart, a heart that breaks for what breaks yours, a heart that rejoices for what you rejoice in, a heart that stands upon truth, a heart that seeks your face. And Father, truly, may you cultivate in all of our hearts and minds and souls a love that is not of this world, but it's a love that comes from heaven. It comes from you, O God. May you pour afresh into our hearts your love. And may we be courageous enough to show that love one to another. And may we, without uttering a word, be a witness to a watching world. In the power of your Holy Spirit, we thank you, Jesus. Amen.